Please find a Bible this morning and leave it open, if you will, to the Gospel of John and the second chapter. For years there was a series of magazine ads that had a big, burly brute of a fellow with a square chin, stubbled cheek, dressed in prison garb. The very epitome of toughness. But invariably, he was doing something very tender and very gentle. He would be threading a needle, or doing embroidery, or cooing over a baby. And I think that the slogan went something like this: tough and yet so gentle. In art of especially modern times, we picture Jesus only in His gentleness, His sweetness, His tenderness. And there is something repulsive about that to the male. It is also inaccurate. In our present society, toughness is rather out and tenderness is very much in. And our mental pictures tend to be only of Jesus' tenderness. And it may shock us a little bit this morning as we think together. It may even upset some of us a little. The Bible does not depict Jesus as merely gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This fact is illustrated perhaps most beautifully and dramatically in two stories that we find in John, the second chapter. Those two stories tell the two sides of our Savior. These two stories show us this morning that Jesus is both tender and tough. And so the lesson I would like for us to learn together today is that, like Christ, we Christians should be a blend of tenderness and toughness. To be Christ-like is to be tender. John 2, verses 1 to 5. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and His disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to Him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever He tells you." This story illustrates Jesus' tenderness. First of all, Jesus was tender enough to befriend, to mingle, to reach out lovingly. We need that kind of tenderness. I challenge you to sit down this afternoon and write out the names of your 10 best friends. If all of them, or most all of them, are members of your faith, how are you ever going to win anyone outside your faith? Jesus was tender enough to be friends. Now, I know, young people, we tell you, look out, don't associate with worldly friends. And this can be dangerous. Unless you're like the old water bucket. In the old days, water came out of the well. Bucket set on the edge of the well. And rope fastened one end to the handle of the bucket, the other end to a windlass. And when you wanted water, you would unwind the windlass and drop the bucket way down until you heard a splash, and then you would turn it around and bring it up. Every time, so long as the bucket was firmly fastened at the top. So the story, the secret of associating out in the darkness of the world is to be so fastened at the top that you can drop down into the darkness without fear of being lost. To be so firmly attached to Jesus that you dare to associate with people who do not know Him so that you can help them learn. Jesus was tender enough to befriend, to reach out to people. Jesus was tender enough to care. When the punch was gone, He sympathized with and He understood and He helped the stressed out people. Aren't you glad that Jesus understands and is sensitive to our stresses? And He comes to us as we worship this morning saying, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And in your worship church service this morning, I will give you rest. If you have had one of those weeks, remember, Jesus understands and cares about stressed out people. Jesus cared enough to do a kindness for His mother. Now, I think there were a number of reasons why Jesus was asked by His mother to do something miraculous. First of all, Mother was one of the hostesses. This was at the wedding of a relative, and she wanted the reception to go well. But not only that, she was a mother. And you know mothers. I dare say she wanted to show off her son. Did you ever hear a mother say, "Johnny, play your pretty piece for the nice people"? Mothers like to show off their sons. But thirdly, I think the greatest reason why Mary must have wanted Jesus to work a miracle was she wanted to prove His divinity, and this was terribly important to Mary, because only evidence of His divinity could prove her morality. For 30 years, the ladies had turned their backs on her, snubbing her because of the questionable pregnancy that brought our Lord into the world. Only proof of His divinity would substantiate her story. Only evidence of His divinity could prove her morality. For Mary, opportunity knocked on the hollow sides of those empty wine vessels. Jesus answered, "My time has not yet come." As soon as Jesus showed evidence of His divinity, He was from that moment on in the midst of controversy. And it would have had some advantage, surely, for Him to be able to teach for a while before that controversy began. This was the very beginning of His ministry. And yet, though it was to His personal disadvantage, His tenderness led Him to a kindness for His mother. And so to be Christ-like is to be tender. Story number two. To be Christ-like is to be tough. John, the second chapter, begin with the 13th verse. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, He found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So He made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Jesus could be tough. He was tough with the powerful who took advantage of the powerless. And they had several ways of doing it, these rascal priests. First of all, if you came to Jerusalem to worship, you could worship in the temple only if you used temple money in your giving. And so somebody would come with a Roman coin worth $10, and they would give him $8 worth of temple money with which to worship. And they would pocket the rest themselves. They sold lambs at exorbitant prices. A man would come in and wanting to worship, and he had no lamb with him, and the priest would say, "You can't have your sins forgiven without a lamb. Here's one we will sell you." "How much?" $100. "But I can buy a lamb back home for $50. "Do you want to have your sins forgiven?" And so they sold livestock at exorbitant prices. Or if somebody brought his own lamb, the priest would walk around and he'd say, "I think he favors his right front foot. Every lamb must be perfect, absolutely without blemish. We cannot accept your lamb. You'll have to buy another." Then they'd take that lamb out into the next room and bring him back to sell him to the next sinner. They took terrible advantage of worshipers. Jesus was tough with the powerful who abused the powerless. Righteous indignation overwhelmed him. Now, you're not going to hurt anybody with a fistful of fodder, but he sure did scare them and awake their conscience. Jesus got tough. Jesus was tough with those misusing God's house. Verses 16 and 17. "To those who sold doves, he said, 'Get these out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?' His disciples remembered that it is written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.'" I like the New International Version because of the way it's punctuated. "Get these out of here! Exclamation mark. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market? Exclamation mark," which actually is a more precise a translation of the original language. Jesus was tough with those misusing God's house. Jesus shows us how to handle abuse. He was tough with those who abused others in the temple. But he was not tough with those who abused him at Calvary. To them, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." We tend to be just the opposite. If somebody abuses us, we really raise a ruckus. But if people abuse somebody else, we just kind of shrug our shoulders and walk away. But notice the rest of the story. As Desire of Ages enlarges on it a little bit, Jesus' toughness in the temple was followed by tenderness. Eventually, the priests came stealing back. And what did they see? Desire of Ages, page 163. "When they fled, the poor remained behind. And these were now looking to Jesus, whose countenance expressed his love and sympathy. With tears in his eyes, he said to the trembling ones around him, 'Fear not.' With pity exceeding that of a tender mother, he bent over the suffering little ones." As we mentioned last week, mother love is the closest thing we have to godly love. Jesus' love was tender, tough, like a mother's love. Boys and girls, Grandma gave our eldest son a dog, a Chihuahua. little terrier thrown in. She was with us for many years. She really wasn't much of a dog, but she did love us. She was a terrible scaredy. If she was out in the yard and another dog came over to get acquainted, she would head for the house, yipping. There she would stand on the porch. And if they kept coming, there would soon be a wet spot where she stood. And then she had puppies. No dog dared enter our yard. She would even chase off the neighbor's Saint Bernard and somehow convinced him it was necessary to go. Jesus' love is so much like a mother's love. A mother's love is tender, but a mother's love is also tough. Jesus' love is not only tender, it's tough enough to defend His own. And so Jesus' love was tender and it was tough. The Christian needs that kind of love, tender, tough love. The world needs tender toughness. Wives need tender, tough husbands. They need husbands who have a degree of toughness. If a wife does not see some toughness in her husband, she feels insecure. She is insecure in a relationship where she feels that he is as uncertain of himself as she often is of herself. And she loses respect, and when she loses respect for her husband, he is miserable and he gets very hard to get along with. Ladies, you need romance. Remember, you do not need romance any more than your husband needs respect. His self-worth is as dependent upon your respect as yours is dependent upon his romance. Those of you who are farmers will quickly recognize the illustration of the fence post. Beginning farmer putting up a fence around his pasture. And so he picks a big, burly, strong corner post. The corner post is the beginning of a fence. And he digs and he plants it deep. And once he gets it in the ground, then the beginning farmer fastens the wire to it and he begins to put stress on that wire. And it pulls and it pulls and it pulls and it pulls. And it pulls that big, strong fence over. The experienced farmer knows better. He takes that big, burly fence post and he plants it in the ground. And then he leans a nice, dainty little fence post up against it, kind of like this, to brace it. And when now he puts the stress on the wire, it is strong, it stands straight. We look to men for strength. It is ladies leaning upon us that makes our strength strong. He needs your depending upon him to make himself feel a man. So, we need tough husbands. We need tender husbands. If you have no tenderness, she has little happiness. if there should be a nuclear holocaust. I'm sure it's obvious to all of us that the last man on earth would spend his last minute on earth searching for his wife and family. And when you one day lie on your deathbed, you will not long for your RV or your boat or your new car. You will long for your family and for your wife. And if family is that important in moments of particular ultimate concern, why not a little tenderness every day? Men think women are lovely. Women, however, are not so sure. Starting from the time when they are girls, they become, I think, overly aware of any physical imperfections. And she stands in front of the mirror and she looks at this 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 and she looks at everything else. And she finds lots of imperfections. And then a terrible thing happens. Age eventually takes its toll and the imperfections multiply. She desperately needs a husband tender enough to let her know still how beautiful she is in his eyes. We need tender, tough husband. Children need tender, tough love from their parents. Tenderness enough for the child to know that he or she is always loved. Some research is very interesting. It seems to indicate that you can do just about anything else to a kid. You can deprive them. You can make them go hungry. You can move them from pillar to post. God forbid, you can even slap them around. If through it all, they always know they're loved, they'll turn out right. Tenderness to let our children always know they're loved. Toughness to not always let them have their own way. Because children who are always getting their own way are not prepared for life. They won't get their own way with their friends, and they'll end up friendless. They won't get their own way with their spouse, and they'll end up loveless. They won't get their own way with their boss, and they'll end up jobless. And they won't even get their way always with God, and they'll wind up godless. Thus, tenderness without toughness alienates a child from society and even from God. We need tender, tough love from parents. And the church needs tender, tough leaders. Tough enough to reprove, tender enough to only and always and totally reprove in love. It is true, however, that any standard unenforced is a standard abandoned. The dilemma of church leadership is how to oppose sin without discouraging sinners. It's easy to be tender, fairly easy to be tough. The real genius comes in knowing how to be tender, tough. The church needs tender, tough leaders. And Christ needs tender, tough Christians. From the book Ministry of Healing, page 297, the Christian life is more than many take it to be. It does not consist wholly in gentleness, patience, meekness, and kindness. These graces are essential, but there is need also of courage, force, energy, and perseverance. And so what we're learning this morning is that, like Christ, Christians should be a blend of tenderness and toughness. Young people, this picture of an exclusively gentle Jesus sometimes drives you away. You know there's got to be more to the perfect man than tenderness. And now, for us right here this morning, our Lord calls for tenderness. Before we conclude our worship, will you open your heart and your mind and your will and your life tenderly to the presence of Jesus? And if you have already done that, how about the toughness that it takes once you have started on the road to the kingdom, the toughness to keep on going? If there's one heart here this morning that has been toughened against the Lord, open that heart. You'll be glad you did. And if you already have, then I challenge you to the toughness that it takes to keep on going and never turn back. Boys and girls, I had a terrible experience driving down the highway one day. I killed a squirrel. And it is not a pleasant experience to hear living flesh ground beneath spinning wheels. And it was doubly sad because it didn't need to happen. I saw the squirrel and I slowed down as he was crossing the road. And he was almost clear over to the safe side, when for some unknown reason, he chose to turn back. Adventists, we've been on the road for quite a while. Sometimes we get discouraged. We're not yet on the other side. Please, be tough enough, having started, to keep on going and never turn back. Let's pray. Loving Father, make us, I pray, tender, tough Christians. Tender enough to yield our hearts, our wills to you this morning. And to yield ourselves to Jesus and His plan for our lives. And please, make us tough enough to never turn back. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.